Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well and that you had a great weekend. Joe Rex Road live from, is my Zoom on? I think it is. We're gonna mute that real quick. Joe Rex Road is live from Knoxville, Tennessee.
There we go.
For Tennessee. practice beginning, fall camp beginning. What a great start to the show we are today. First 45 seconds. Joe, what's going on?
Foreshadowing a wonderful week, kind of like Tannehill throws a pick in camp. I know that in week three he's throwing a pick.
That's right.
There you go. Yeah, man, I'm excited. I am sad that I'm missing Titans' first day in pads, but had a great media day yesterday with the Vols. Some really excellent interviews. Very excited to write about some of that and talk about some of that here. And then also today, you're going to watch a little bit of Vols practice, the first practice of the year.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Trey Wallace, who captured video of Joe Rex Road within about 5 feet of Joe Milton yesterday. And looked like things were kept under control. Joe contained himself, both Joes, I guess. But it was a beautiful sight, Joe Rex Road, Joe Milton in the same frame.
You know that, like, you know, thing that people do, like your head. Like someday, if in the NFL Joe Milton throws a pass to Nick Westbrook Akina, you know,
that'll be the day that we lose Joe Rex Road.
Just imagine. Yeah, that's right. Just die happy right there.
Just unbelievable. Michelle, what's going on? How are you besides me trying to derail the show 45 seconds into it?
I was so confused as to what was happening. But then again, I'm a little sleepy. I got in at midnight last night from Chicago, so about 4-ish hours of sleep.
There we go.
We love that. So yeah, today's just gonna be a great day. Happy Monday. Happy August 1st.
Well, how long were you guys in Chicago?
Friday to last night.
Okay.
Quick trip.
And you butchered a hot dog with ketchup. You went to the bad team in town to watch instead of the Cubs. But other than that, I hope it was good.
And listen to this. Guess who we ran into at the Sox game? Mr. Ryan Porth.
Oh, boy.
So I got to see Porth, got to see Brooklyn. It was a great day.
Wow.
And the White Sox won. So we love that. Joe, we also got you a gift. So it'll be waiting on your desk when you get in tomorrow.
I'm excited. It's pretty. See, that's what's great about going to White Sox games is there's only like 130 people there. So you can actually just run into somebody you know. You know, that's pretty awesome.
Very well done, Rex Show. That was good stuff. We got a lot to get to today here on the program. We'll get Joe's thoughts on Titans training camp over the weekend here in just a second. But, Joe, I do want to start with the passing of Bill Russell, obviously one of the greatest NBA players of all time. He passed away peacefully yesterday at the age of 88. Obviously, Joe, I did not watch Bill Russell playing basketball growing up, nor did you. But, obviously, an 11-time NBA champion, the greatest winner in the history of the game, and by all accounts, just a fantastic person as well. I was never fortunate enough to be around him and or meet him, but sad day yesterday with the passing of Bill Russell.
Yeah, nor was I. I tweeted this, but I'll never forget this because this was around the time. Actually, this was around the time the debate. It's like there was Magic and Bird, and then but Jordan now had won a title, and he was, you know, so it was like Jordan. And at one point, my grandpa, who was a huge sports fan in general, but a huge basketball fan, not a Celtics fan, But he said, don't ever listen to anybody else. Bill Russell is the greatest player ever, period. I don't care about stats. If you watch them play, he was the greatest. Don't ever forget that. And, you know, that's the thing about I saw something Jerry West said, which is really interesting. And I think it was recent. I think he may have just said it to Bill Plaschke. But basically, like if you compare Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, better shooter, better score, better rebound. Like, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, incredible stats, incredible talent. Guy had 100 points in a game. But he's like, but if I'm picking between them, and this is Jerry West, played with Wilt. You know, he said, I'm going with Bill Russell. And it's almost like it's a lot of those sort of, you know, like in today's game, probably the analytics would be very kind to Bill Russell, right, for all he did. He just didn't – like he scored when he needed to score. And then defensively, he just was like by all accounts, like the greatest team defender. So on that front, people should remember him. But, yes, please read about Bill Russell and the crap he went through also. And the fact that he was an activist when it was very unpopular to be an activist in this country. The guy was in any way just one of our best people.
Yep, no question about it. It's a sad day yesterday, losing Bill Russell, the age of 88, 11-time NBA champion. By the way, two-time champion as a coach as well, which people just totally forget about. But yeah. Two-time champion as a coach as well. So an incredible basketball career and an incredible life lived by Bill Russell. Joe, Titans are on the field Friday and Saturday. Not yesterday, but on the field Friday and Saturday. They'll be back out there today for the first day in pads. What were some things that stood out to you over the weekend on Friday and Saturday at Titans training camp?
Well, you'll be happy and excited to know, and surprised that I mentioned, that I have 2,000 words of observations up at theathletic.com.
Oh, good.
Yes. And the header there is Derrick Henry. So I'll start there really quick. Derrick Henry, especially after Friday and Saturday up till now, I think we're probably about to see Derrick Henry do what he did last year, which is, okay, have a break,
right,
keep that conditioning up. There's the sand pit. Let's catch some passes. And thanks, Derrick. We'll see you in September. But he did so much more in the first few days than he did last year. And Friday in particular stood out because they were indoors. Now they have a new turf in there, and it is a safer turf. It's like coconut and cork, and so rather than like these rubber pellets, right? So it's better, but it's still more of strain on your foot, on your for everybody. And some of the cuts he made, and some of the runs he had, and some of the times where he got tangled up with bodies, and was at one time he fell onto Aaron Brewer, and I thought Aaron Brewer was just gonna like go into the ground. You know, like it was pretty remarkable to see Derrick Henry do this. It's interesting, and no one's really talking about why they changed it, but it's just a change. Maybe they're like, you know what, let's see if they really get it going, see what he can do. Bottom line, he looks fantastic, and this is not like some huge surprise, but it's still worth noting, you know, that he looks as fast, as shifty, as explosive as he's ever looked. So, again, now pads are coming on, and I don't think we're going to see much of that, but it was a good few days for him. Maybe I'll just go through my notes. You know, there's a lot of different things, but, you know, I only write down stuff that really stands out. So let's just go through the notes Friday indoors.
Let's do
see
that.
What we come up with. Yeah. So I got Burks on one-on-ones on a crossing pattern, just shoving Roger McCreary off him again. Burks probably needs to work on not, you know, extending the arm at times, but sometimes people are just they're just popping off him. And on this one, I think it was more that, like, he's very physical. He's looking very good. Racy McMath had maybe the best catch of the day on a bomb. I forget who threw it. I think it was Woodside. Had to make this crazy adjustment. Racy McMath is a guy who, in my opinion, is really making a run at making this team early, but I like what he's doing. DeMarcus Walker, a guy who I ignored, and in this thing I wrote today, I, by the way, I made some quick, like, let me make some fixes on my 53. I'm putting him on my 53. I mean, that, like, he was one of the offseason winners, and the opportunities he's getting without specifying, because we're not supposed to specify, tell me what the coaches think about him. Cody Hollister, you know, he is playing very well. This has happened before.
We never talk about him.
we never talk about him. And the thing is, and in for years now, Cody Hollister gets a lot of ones reps. He's with Tannehill. He's out there making catches. You know, it's, and I feel like he's gotten better. I don't know how he fits in to this receiver room. But it's interesting because going into camp, how much do we talk about, there's not enough depth and they don't have enough guys. It's actually been a pretty good receiver start in terms of a lot of guys looking like they're improved. And again, he's big, physical, catches everything. So worth keeping an eye on. Raiden's against Landry had a really good pass blocking rep against him. Really good, you know, quick feet, good punch. Now there's been other times, and again, remember, no pads, but they're still, when they do team, I mean, those guys are coming off the edge and the blockers are still trying to stay in front of them. There's been a few times where Landry has just blown past them too. And it's not just been all Landry Raiden's, but like, you know, that's been Dupree and they've moved people around, but definitely some good reps from Raiden's. You know, Willis, and this is a Malik Willis, and this is something from the last 2 days that you could say in tandem. I would say both days, but especially Saturday, Malik Willis right now is struggling to see someone quickly and get rid of the ball. And that's even in 7-on-7.
Yeah.
Too much. So, you know, I would say right now he's struggling. I'd say again, with everything, good or bad right now, you got to keep in mind that it's early. He's got a big week here ahead in pads. To get himself ready for that preseason game, because I expect he and Woodside hasn't been great all the time, but there's a gap. There's a gap between Tannehill and Woodside, as there always has been, even last camp when Tannehill quote unquote sucked. And there is a gap right now between Woodside and Willis. I got Kyle Phillips showing ridiculous feet. Robert Woods looking very fast. Again, Burks keeps showing up over and over again. I just, one note here just says Burke looks scary. Derrick Henry with a really nice catch against Zach Cunningham. Farley with a great pass breakup against Josh Malone on an out cut. Another one of those where he reads the route. He comes over the top, no contact, uses his left arm and just bats it away. Farley coming up again and again and again as a guy who is just really, really impressing right now. Chig beats Hooker on a really good route and then a big-time catch in traffic. You know, Hooker still was right there. Chig Okonkwo so far, I don't know that he's dropped a thing. He's been very good with his strength in traffic catching the ball and looks pretty good running routes. I took a lot of notes on Friday. Maybe because Thursday was so boring, but
you're really excited Friday.
Yeah, Friday was actually, because you're never excited when they go indoors.
Yeah.
But it actually was a really good day of work. A lot of good stuff. Austin Hooper made a couple plays, and he's kind of been quiet. But they got him going again Friday too. So that's my Friday right there.
Well, we'll get to Joe's Saturday portion of his notes coming up next. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. There's also one Titans newcomer that fans are starting to get pretty excited about. We'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7 coming up at 6:30 as Tennessee Fall Camp set to begin today. Media day yesterday, Joe Rex Road is out in Knoxville for Tennessee practice, so we'll get some updates from Joe a little bit later in the show as well. But right now, Joe Rex Road is talking Titans, and was at Titans training camp over the weekend. Joe, you've given us your wonderful Friday notes from training camp practice. Let's move into Saturday. What did you notice on Saturday when they were back outside?
So many more notes. So exciting. AJ Moore blitzing on a nice little dump to Hilliard that Bud Dupree was in position to blow up. Few things on that play. One, Dontrell Hilliard. I haven't heard a lot of talk about him. He has worked hard to be ready to be this team's third down back. Looks really good out there. Looks good catching the ball. Looks good running. He did have a fumble. I think it was Saturday.
That has been a problem with him.
Yes. And so, and I didn't get a good look at who forced it. There was someone kind of, you know, someone's like a flyby and popped it out. But that's something definitely you guys got to work on. But a big thing about that play, another 53-man do-over, A.J. Moore. I screwed that up. I overreacted to Josh Kalu being, you know, re-signed, and I put him on and said, A.J. Moore, I want A.J. Moore on my 53. Now, maybe both of them. It's possible. But I'm putting A.J. Moore on my 53. Hassan Haskins, another guy, haven't heard a lot. Had a really good just a run. Again, we're not talking about pads yet, but the explosion up the middle on a run, I noticed that. Burks, again, off the line with his feet, just twists Chris Jackson like a pretzel. And that's the thing about Burks that I have been impressed with because I didn't expect it to be as good as it is, but his feet look quick off the line, quicker than I would have expected. He's not just, you know, mowing people over. He's running some really sharp routes too, at the bottom and top of the route. Another here we go, Farley, another one of those reading a route. It's an out cut and swooping in and using that left hand to knock it away. He looks really good. I mean, right now he has been the best cornerback in camp. Now we understand the limitations on that judgment because of what they've been doing, but I'm just saying they're all out there doing one-on-ones. They're all out doing 7-on-17. He has stood out. He has been very good. A great, you know, the play of the day Saturday, and Titans tweeted this out, so you guys have probably seen it, but it was the deep shot with Robert Woods. So what they showed the play, but, you know, the whole play, one thing that stands out, one, you know, Robert Woods looks fast. You know, we had the clip during one of the breaks, Jared talking about Robert Woods. Robert Woods, and we're going to talk about him, he looks very fast, and he looks explosive, change, like nothing on the knee. And I'm watching it sometimes. I'm like, man, that's the guy tore the ACL, like, what, 8 months ago? Right? On this play, he comes down hard on that knee, makes a great adjustment in the air. But Farley's there with him step for step, and then it's just a terrific job by Woods to come back a high point, and then he runs in. So it was one of those, like, you know, someone always loses if someone wins a rep, but it was pretty good on both fronts. Three straight plays from Willis. You know, he's tucking it. He's late. He gets the ball batted, and then he's late, and then way off, and he's short, and he grounds it. And it's like, you don't often see three in a row. Like, they were kind of like, okay, do another one, Malik. Do another one. And, again, he's right now, I think, probably some of it is, you know, the offense just being a rookie and the install and everything. And some of it, I definitely, like, his fundamentals, his footwork, I think – we talked about in the spring too, but I think that the inconsistency with his accuracy probably has something to do with the footwork that they're working hard on, but you got to get it to where it's more consistent. He'll make a wow throw every third or fourth throw too. They keep that in mind. I mean, he can rip one and it's like, wow, like he can rip one like no one else on the team can. But very inconsistent right now.
Well, Vrabel's talked about his timing as well heading into camp. I mean, that's part of it as to what you're referring to there.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a lot of, like, you know, I think sometimes it's like, you know, you got to trust it, throw into a tight window on some of those plays. Yes. It's 7-on-7. Like, you've got somebody to throw to, you got to see it and let it go. And he's tucking a lot. Munyer with a bad snap, you know, Ben Jones, not sure what's going on, but missed at least one of those. Molden and Jones would be the two guys who have got something going on. I'm seeing Danico Autry limp a little bit too at times, but Munyer, another bad snap. And this has been a thing. An incredible pass. Tannehill in team under pressure, a rope to Dez Fitzpatrick in the middle of the field. against AJ Moore, and then he's gone for a touchdown, like a really like wild play by Tannehill to get it to him. So I think that'll be week 5. Who is that? Who will that be against? I'm not sure, but look for that play. That exact play will happen in the season. And then some other things. Kinsey had a drop, on a play that Woods was wide open deep and was like waving to Tannehill.
Yeah.
Tannehill's like, yep, I should have hit you. So look for that one in week 7. NWI keeps making good catches. Got to mention him too. And then there was a last thing, Treylon Burks. Yeah, and a lot of people tweet about this. Treylon Burks, this was fans were there watching too. I don't know if it must have been a busted coverage, but he got wide open deep. Tannehill saw him. It's a touchdown. And then big Jeff Simmons is up there swatting away. Jeff also, by the way, with Nate Davis. Helmet popped off. So this proves that it's not just Roger Saffold that can piss off Jeffrey Simmons during practice. Yes. So Nate Davis and Jeff Simmons, so that's something to watch. Jeffrey Simmons is intense at all times in any practice, even without pads. So that'll be something to watch for sure.
I don't know if he's quite the person that I would want to upset out there. Just me. Probably would try to avoid doing that if I'm anybody else. But good to know he's still got that fire out there. So you brought up Robert Woods. I want to drill down on him for a few minutes because I saw the video the Titans tweeted out the other day of that play you're referring to with Farley, of him just going up and high-pointing the ball and coming down. And number one, my first thought was, man, the two of them look really good, and they're the two coming off ACL injuries. That's a really good thing if you're a Titans fan. But Titans fans, they're starting to get excited about Robert Woods. I mean, we played the clip a minute ago. Jared basically confessed his love for him on Friday on his show. There's a lot to like about Robert Woods. And, I mean, it has me wondering, as you're out there and you're watching him, Joe, what are you noticing from Robert Woods? And do you think that he could have one more really big season left in him? And I'm not talking 1,500 yards or anything like that, but he's been a 1,000-yard guy a couple times in his career before. Are you surprised that he's coming along as quickly as he is, and does that make you view him any differently as to what he can be in this offense this year?
Well, yeah, I would say I'm a little bit surprised, sure. You never know. I mean, that wasn't like a early – like Caleb's ACL was, what, week 3? It was pretty early.
It was pretty early
last
year.
Robert Woods was – well into the season, was late in the season. So, everybody's on a different timeline, and you just figure even if everything was going great, sometimes you kind of expect, trainers or doctors or whatever to be like, okay, let's just keep on that timeline where, you're going to just be careful. And I wouldn't have expected him to be doing all he's doing. I don't know what that looks like in pads, but Vrabel has sort of suggested that, it's not going to be a big change. So, yeah, it is a little bit surprising. And it's a good question on what kind of season he can have. I think he'll have a good season. I think he and Tannehill already have a good chemistry. He looks fast. Like you said, go back to last year. There at time, I think in particular game at Seattle, he was the best player on the field. They couldn't deal with him. And obviously it helps to have Cooper Kupp as a teammate. But it's hard to know. I still think, obviously, this team's going to run the football a lot. And I think, Burks, if he keeps coming the way he's coming, he's going to demand some targets too. But if you had to pick one guy right now to lead this team in receiving yards, it would definitely be Woods. And I wouldn't be shocked if he had a 1,000-yard season. I think like an 800-yard season would be, if other things work out well, the tight ends work out well, Burks, I think NWI is going to give you a good 600-700 yards. That could be very good. But, 1,000-yard season, that'd be huge, to have a true go-to guy out there, and to think that, you figure it was going to be some newcomer, maybe Woods, Hooper, and even Burks become really good, consistent targets for Tannehill this year, in which case – you could say, I don't know that – it's still hard for me to say better around him without A.J. Brown, but better diversity of options around him, I think, for sure, could be possible.
Speaking of A.J., he's still tweeting. Still tweeting last night from A.J. Brown.
Yeah, he tweeted directly about Debo's deal which is what, about 3 for 70 something.
Yeah.
58 guarantee, which is a big guarantee number, but basically, like
he said, quote, basically all four of us got the same contract and I'm the only one that got traded. Yeah, keep believing it was me. Anyway, anywho, go Birds, hashtag carry on. This is from AJ Brown. And to his credit, it's still up this morning, which I really swore in my mind that it wouldn't be.
Well, he must feel good about it then. That's the thing. I saw some reaction to this, like, God, AJ Brown's obsessed with Titans fans. Like, I don't think that's to Titans fans. I think that's, again, like, to, he's mad at John Robinson, or I guess the Titans in general, for after the draft night, all the, you know, there's a lot of stuff that came out about how this just had, this trade had to be made. So he's going to carry that. He's still mad about it. I don't blame him. You know, like, I don't have a problem with that. Keep the tweet up.
Keep the tweet up.
Joe's still mad about it.
Just keep that tweet up. That's right. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols as fall camp beginning today for Josh Heupel and company. That's coming up next. Jake Paul returns to the ring this Saturday on Showtime, looking to keep his undefeated streak alive against Haseem Rahman Jr., and FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's right, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot, because you can get up to $1,000 back in free bets if your first bet doesn't win, and FanDuel's always hooking you up with exclusive odds boosts, great promotions, and so much more. That's why they're America's number one sportsbook. I like Jake Paul in this matchup. He's undefeated. I'll keep going with him until he's not, but you take it any way you want to take it. Make sure you don't miss out on your chance for a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when Jake Paul takes on Haseem Rahman Jr. on Showtime coming up this Saturday. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code ROB to get in on the action. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Wes Rucker from GoVols247.com. Wes, what's going on? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Wes, it's an exciting time. Football is back here in Tennessee. What stood out to you yesterday at Tennessee Media Day?
That's a good question. And, you know, I thought there were some interesting things that came out of it. You know, obviously Tennessee didn't want to have a running back go down, but we heard, you know, within the past week or so that Laneith Whitehead, one of Tennessee's five scholarship running backs, had gotten hurt during a workout. And then, of course, you hear that he's going to have surgery and he's going to be out for the year. And that's not something Tennessee wanted to hear, obviously, with only four scholarship running backs left on the roster, you know, going into the start of preseason camp. We'll see if they end up taking Lynn J. Dixon as the transfer. Maybe he ends up taking it right back to five if he commits in the next couple of days. So that was interesting bit of news for Tennessee. Other than that, you know, I thought it was, you know, it's pretty good. You know, the guys physically looked pretty good, the ones that we talked to anyway. It seems to have been a pretty productive offseason for them, and I think they're in pretty good shape, all things considered, going into camp. They just have a lot more things settled, you know, than they had, say, 365 days ago. I mean, this time last year, you know, my God's list of questions was a long one. But right now it seems like a more normal set of questions, set of, you know, uncertainties going into the season. This season is about what you would normally see it. Last season the list was long and around the corner. It's a little bit more different this year.
Yeah, a few things stood out to me, Wes, offensively. Alex Golish talking about, you know, Darnell Wright at right tackle, and he really wants him to just stay there. So competition at left tackle, wondering what you think about the possibilities there, and I guess what you think of the offensive line. Also, interesting comments from Golish, I thought, on Squirrel White and, you know, the maturity of him. Obviously, everybody knows he's very – if you watch, you know, film of Squirrel White, he's very exciting. And I think, you know, he could really maybe be a return factor this year. But interesting hearing about his maturity. And then also the running backs, those freshmen, you know, talking about how both those guys need to be ready. So what do you think about the tackle situation? And then do you look at either of those two freshman running backs and think one could be ready to come in and you know, give Jabari Small some support on the field?
Yeah, those are some good ones, Joe. I think when you look at that, I was a little bit surprised that they moved during the spring, that they moved Darnell Wright from the left side to the right side, because I wouldn't think on paper you'd rather have a problem, you know, an uncertain situation at left tackle as opposed to right tackle going into the season. But Darnell Wright, in fairness to them, is a better player at right tackle than he is left tackle. That's probably better for his future, for his long-term future anyway. He's a better prospect over there. So I think maybe that's something that helps them in some ways, but we'll see. And then I think, and with respect to Dane Davis, who I do think will be in the mix and I do think will play, I think it's probably going to come down to either J.J. Crawford or Gerald Mincy there at the left tackle spot. And I think it's probably safe to say that Crawford had a leg up going into spring for that spot. And then I think Mincy toward the end of camp really kind of started to even it out. And now it's kind of a coin flip. So we'll see. I mean, you know, Crawford's a bit more athletic probably. Mincy's a bit more of like a powerful run-blocking kind of guy. And not that the other one can't do the other, but that's probably the strengths of each guy. So it'll be interesting to see who's more consistent over there, or if they have to go back to the old warhorse and give Dane Davis that spot. And as for Squirrel White, yeah, I think him and I think he and Dylan Sampson both have a chance as freshmen to be really, I wouldn't say kind of every down guys, but guys who can go in there and really make a splash. I mean, both of those guys are really, really fast. Tennessee really kind of wanted some more speed in this recruiting class, and I think both of those guys have a chance to go in there and get behind a defense and make a big play. I mean, White and Sampson both can just fly in the open field. I mean, both really, really fast guys. And then I believe you also mentioned Justin Williams-Thomas, the other freshman running back. I like him. He physically kind of looks like you want an SEC running back to look. You know, he just kind of has that – you know, as the kids call them these days, the quad gods, you know, just one of those guys who, like, from knee to waist is a big dude. And I think he's got kind of what you want for a young running back to look like physically. So if he can go in there and take some carries too, that's going to help. I know Tennessee's really, really high on him for the future, and it'll be interesting to see what he looks like physically going into this camp, because I thought there were times in the spring he looked pretty good.
Wes, I think quad gods is what people refer to Rex Road as well when he works out.
That's what I've heard.
It's unbelievable.
Things have been said.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, people are saying it, you know? I mean, hey, what can I do? Yeah.
Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Wes, you know, as last season progressed, I think a lot of Tennessee fans basically just forgot about Jalin Hyatt. And I do wonder from your vantage point, if he's put in the work this offseason – and he's figured some things out, what sort of weapon do you think Jalin Hyatt could be for this team this year in the slot and just the speed that he brings to the table?
No, he can be a really big weapon, guys. He can be a really big weapon. And last season, you know, when they made that switch and moved Bayless Jones Jr. from the outside to the inside, that really kind of unlocked everything for their offense. And that you know, they went with him and obviously Tillman and Peyton, and those three guys took a vast majority of the reps at receiver, shockingly large number of reps for a high-speed offense. And those guys were able to handle it. They were older guys. They were in great shape physically, so they allowed you to do that. But when they did that, you know, a couple guys, especially Jalin Hyatt, ended up kind of getting on the back burner a little bit. And Hyatt, as a freshman, excited a lot of people, including me. I mean, the way that he could run in the open field, the way he could open a couple of big plays for scores against Alabama, you know, of all teams, he's a good player. But he also kind of looked like a bit of a string bean. You know, he just never looked physically like he was an SEC-type receiver. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't do it. All body types are different. You can be good. But you're always kind of like, man, if he gets hurt a couple times, it gets popped. That's not going to look good. He has put on about 20 pounds now. He's really dedicated himself. He's grown up a lot of ways. I think last season humbled him quite a bit. I think he kind of walked into his sophomore season thinking he was kind of hot stuff. And I think he got humbled. He got knocked down a peg. And I think that really kind of put him in a spot where he said, how good am I? Am I really going to get this done here? And he took the right road. He ended up getting some things squared away. He's been more mature, more responsible on a daily basis. He's finally started to put weight on that frame. And now I think he's starting to become the player that they think he could be. If he can stay healthy throughout camp, you're talking about a really big weapon there in the slot for the Vols, I think.
Yeah, Joe Milton talking yesterday about coming in, I think, like 10 o'clock on a Friday, and he's seeing Hyatt and Jimmy Callaway on the jugs machine. So I thought that kind of speaks to what you're talking about there, Wes, with Hyatt. That's exciting for them. They need him to have that huge jump. On the other side of the ball, Wes, how big of a concern is cornerback right now?
Well, it's got to be up there on the list, Joe. I mean, I don't know that it's like dire straits or anything like that. I do think they have some potential there. But sure, there's concern because, you know, the first game and so far the only game that we've seen without Alante Taylor there, boy, that didn't look very good, did it?
It did not.
Purdue kind of lit him up. I mean, without its top two receivers, Purdue still just kind of went out there and got what it wanted. So, yeah, I mean, I think in fairness to those guys, a lot of them were banged up at the time, and only one of them, and most of them had surgery. And I think they had either one or two scholarship corners out there for every practice, you know, in the spring. And that's unfortunate for them because they really needed that developmental time. But the good news is they got healthy, so they'll be out there now. Christian Charles ended up moving from safety to corner and looked pretty decent at times there in the spring, like a guy who could stick there long term. But we'll see. I mean, certainly, I'm not going to tell you that their situation there looks great, but I also don't think it's necessarily a hopeless or helpless situation. I think they've got some guys there, you know, with you know, guys like Burrell and Haddon and Turnage and Charles, D. Williams. They've got some guys who could end up being pretty decent players. I just don't know that, you know, can they get at least two of them in shape to look like SEC starters in the next 30 days. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't think that it's a concern for sure, but there have been times going into a season where I felt worse about certain positions than I do about this season's corners, if that makes sense. I don't think it's a great situation right now, but I also don't think it's the worst.
Wes, did you take Josh Heupel's comments on Brew McCoy yesterday as a pretty good sign he may be eligible by week one?
I think so. I mean, you know, we'll see, you know, because there's been a couple situations with Tennessee players in the past few years where Tennessee thought it would have been handled well before the season started, and it took either after the first game or right before the first game. So they can cut it a little close, but, I mean, as far as I can tell, there's only one hurdle left, and I don't know if that's an SEC type of thing or what it is because of some of those things that needed to be looked to from his time there at USC, but I think Tennessee feels like it's on the right track to get there. And I think Tennessee feels like by the time the first game week rolls around, that will be settled. Now, will it be? I have no idea. But I think Tennessee thinks it will. And, you know, these guys in the past have not been overly optimistic with no reason to be, if that makes sense. So when they've said they thought something was going to happen, that's usually ended up happening. So I think there's a much better chance that he's eligible than he's not, but we'll wait and see.
Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7, our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. Wes, great stuff as always. Appreciate you making time for us this morning. Football season is back. We're looking forward to your coverage. Appreciate you, my man.
Hey, no problem, guys. It's here, whether we want it or not, guys.
That's
it
right.
It's here.
That's right.
You'll see my Cavs at practice later, Wes.
Yes, you will. In all its glory.
Can't wait.
No question. Wes Rucker, our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. We'll get Joe's thoughts and impressions for Tennessee Media Day yesterday coming up next. And look ahead to what this Tennessee offense could be on the field this year with some exciting pieces, some of which are freshmen, as Joe just mentioned. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexha, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 for joining us in the last segment. Joe Rex Road is live in Knoxville, Tennessee. Fall camp beginning today for the Tennessee Volunteers. And Joe was at Tennessee Media Day yesterday as well. Joe, anything in particular stand out to you from Josh Heupel and company yesterday? They seem to be mostly healthy on the injury front. Wes did bring up the Whitehead situation that they have going on there. But anything in particular stand out yesterday at Tennessee Volunteers Media Day?
Mostly Joe Milton.
Of course.
So. Actually, some great conversation with Joe Milton about his spaghetti. His special spaghetti recipe. I'm so excited to write this Joe Milton story this week. I can't tell you. He puts pepperoni in spaghetti sauce. How about that? Pepperoni in his spaghetti sauce.
Well, it certainly provides him a lot of energy in that right arm. There's no question about that.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. But, yeah, I mean, I did seriously spend a lot of time talking to him and Hendon Hooker, who are living together, best friends, went on vacation together. They each consider each other's moms their mom, and they Milton has a pit bull, and Hendon Hooker has like a puppy, little puppy. And I'm like, man, that sounds like he could really be overwhelmed in that situation. But there's the friendship talk, and then there's the quarterback room aspect of it too. Of course, Taven Jackson was there yesterday too, by the way.
Yeah,
a guy who's kind of forgotten freshman who next year. You got Milton, you'll have Hooker moving on, and you'll have Nico coming in, but Taven Jackson also, is going to be in the mix, or you would think. He talked about, Nico coming in, and he's like, hey, that's what you expect at a program like Tennessee, to bring in a great quarterback every year. So good, good approach by him. Like you said, the running back depth was already a concern for them. It is more so now. There is definitely a lot of buzz around Dylan Sampson. Now, can he handle, is he going to be like a situational throwman, try to get a big play kind of guy? Like, they need to find someone, who can spell Jabari Small. I do think Jabari Small is due for a big year. I talked yesterday also, and he talked about how early in the season he was very much not comfortable in the offense. It was very much, that's the thing. It's tough for defenses, but also, if you're not totally in command of this offense when you're in it, you have to line up so fast. Conditioning is a big part of it, but it's also understanding. He said by midseason, he's like, okay, the game started moving at a much slower pace for him. He was also banged up last year. But I think if he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be really good for them. They got to have someone, though, to spell him. Is Jalen Wright that guy? He showed some things last year. I just have a feeling one of these freshmen, and maybe both, are going to make a difference. And like I said, Wes talked about the corners there. Tim Banks talked some about that. And we're about to find out about a lot of things. A lot of questions yesterday as Mike Wilson and I were talking after media. It's like there's a whole bunch of questions that were like, this is how it is if you have media day before practice starts. Right. It's like basically like, I'll tell you in like 3 days. How does that work? Tell you in a week, we're just going to find out, but they need some people to step up in that secondary. I think Trevon Flowers is going to have a big year, and he was great to talk to yesterday as well. But the corner position, obviously critical, and I think they need some somewhat unexpected, emergences there.
Joe, Alex Golish loves him some Squirrel White. That's one thing I've learned this offseason. He's talked about it a couple of times, and he did again yesterday. I think the quote was he's mature beyond his years, talking about Squirrel White and kind of him coming in and handling this situation. I don't know that, like I said, Wes, I think, put it well. He's not going to be an every down guy or anything this year, but I'm starting to develop some expectations for Squirrel White beyond just the awesomeness of his name. Alex Golish is talking me into it, man.
Yeah, it's you never know. It's one of those things where, like, then we can get in the season and it's Tillman and I do absolutely believe, like, the hype around, there's too much talk about around Hyatt for that to be fake. Again, I mentioned Joe Milton yesterday. Now, if Callaway also takes a step with Hyatt, you know, that would be big. But it could end up being, you know, those three, McCoy, and you don't really see a lot. Like we forget about it, right? It may be a little bit more like excitement for the future. Again, Golish said yesterday he hasn't seen someone. He was an early enrollee, Squirrel White was. And he said he hasn't seen anyone handle it as well as he did in terms of basically like being focused, doing your school, good grades, doing the football, being all about business. It's hard. It's hard for a freshman, let alone someone who's supposed to be preparing for prom, to come in and put away all the distractions. So I think you're right. I mean, I think we're probably going to see something from him this year. How much, I don't know. I'm very, very intrigued to just see him on the practice field. 5'10", 160 is, as a freshman, you know, that's, and obviously, hopefully for the Vols, it's more like 167 now, right? I'm sure he's been trying to add weight, but that's slight and that's small. But yeah, the talent is there. You can go watch some Squirrel White highlights. And if the approach is that good, I feel like they can maybe find something for him. Again, maybe in the return game.
Joe, real quickly, how big of a concern is the offensive line for you with Tennessee right now, with Wright moving over to right tackle? That left side is going to be pretty interesting to see what they do there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern for sure. Obviously, you feel good, you know, with Cooper Mays in there. You got some they talked yesterday about Carvin becoming a leader after a year ago. This is Golish talking again. A year ago, kind of not knowing what's going on, and now, like, boom, he's one of their leaders. I actually like the move from Darnell Wright. I think, you know, then you have an NFL quality right tackle and just go over there, be that guy. But yeah, left tackle, it's still the blind side for Hendon Hooker. And you've got a competition there, and that's just something to watch. What you want is someone to step up. I think Gerald Mincy is going to be the left tackle. That's my prediction. You need him to clearly be the best guy here quickly in camp and get some continuity with that five. It's a concern. They do have, you know, some young guys that they're kind of excited about too. But you know, it's injuries there would be a real problem.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. Do Titans fans believe that this team is still in the window to win? We'll get into that discussion coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at Twin Peaks. They'll hook you up for your fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. When you're not on the clock, you can relax with one of Twin Peaks' refreshing 29-degree beers, or order the whole team the Peak Sampler full of fan favorites, or indulge in shareables like the double stack nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of boneless wings as well. Call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.